And with that sound, the weekend has begun. I'm your host, Taylor Merrick, and you're listening to the latest in tech news podcast. This podcast, all we cover is the latest tech, gaming, and gadget news. So without further ado, I got a line of stories to make you aware of today. As always, if you wanted to join us or chat in your comments or feedback, we're on Facebook at Tech News Gadget. We're on Twitter at Tech News Gadget. We also have a Discord server. All that information can be found at latestintechnews.com. That's the show notes for this podcast and any other episode that we have. Looking here, Instagram just declared war on YouTube with a new long-form video app called IGTV. It's another dedicated app for iOS and Android, a section within the Instagram app that allows you to record longer form videos. It seems like what Instagram's trying to do is keep it mobile, yes, but they're also trying to go for a new video format, which is vertical. Remember how many times you've told people and listened to people yelling at you to turn your camera or turn your phone sideways so you can actually capture the full screen? Well, apparently Instagram said, well, with the success of Instagram and Snapchat and other mobile apps, a lot of the vertical format of videos and images seem to be going a lot better in the mobile. Why don't we do that? So with IGTV, the plans are, first they're going to start with a set time limit of 10 minutes, and obviously if you have more Instagram followers, it'll be more time that you'll have from there. They said that this is temporary, it isn't going to be forever. They are, hopefully, once they figure out everything and what's going on, users will be able to add longer videos, and ads will be included. People were wondering, are we going to have ads at launch? We're going to have to, you know, tap to skip or swipe to skip or something to skip the ad because I don't want ads already. Well, Instagram is playing this smart. Want to see how it works out first. Give it an official trial run live, not in a beta because I guess the beta went well, but live, and then see as it goes from there. So what do you guys think about Instagram launching IGTV? Are you on board with this or not? Let us know. On Twitter, social media, Discord, links are out there. So, the next article I'm going to get into here, let's see. And this is something that I'm not going to say an avid player of, but in terms of mobile games that I play on my smartphone regularly, this is number one, Pokemon Go. Great news for Pokemon Go players, both past, current, and future. Niantic finally decided to include trading, a feature we've asked for the last two stinking years, and they finally introduced that. You can now trade Pokemon in between each other. You can also now friend each other on Pokemon Go, and they do have a process about how to go about that. Currently, what I'm noticing right now, and I notice it myself, I opened up Pokemon Go today, and they said, we are turning it on. And when I turned it on to go look at the app, they said, well, if you want to have any friends, you have to be level 40. What? Are you kidding me? So obviously there's been a lot of outrage. People have been complaining on the Facebook groups. They've been complaining probably on Discord. They've been complaining on Twitter. Why do I have to be level 40 to use it? Well, here's the thing. Niantic figured out, based on their past mistakes, that whenever they introduced a really cool, fun, new, interesting update, a lot of players came back into the game, crashed the servers. Apparently, they never really decided to figure out how to test the infrastructure to be sure it was going to be able to bear the load of the new update and the changes made, infrastructure-wise, without bringing everything down. So, what Niantic is doing this time is they're making it available to people at level 40 right now. And right now, yes, as of this recording, it is buggy, it's a little bit slow, doesn't really work smoothly, but that's because Niantic is releasing it in stages. So once it's smoothed out, the servers are okay, the loads are okay, the update seems to be going fine, we're not having a lot of glitches in the live, then they're probably going to be rolling it back to people level 30 and up, and then 20 and up, and then 10 and up, because the original goal was any player whose trainer level is 10 or higher can have friends and trade. So, the process for the Pokemon Go trading update, why did I click on that stupid thing? Okay, so you can make friends now in Pokemon Go. Friendship in Pokemon Go acts pretty much the same as it does across all of Nintendo's platforms via a code. And the benefits to being friends is you can send gifts to each other, and you can do more damage when raiding and attacking gyms together and receive extra Pokeballs to catch raid bosses with, and trades are cheaper. So, there are four different friendship levels, good, great, ultra, and best, and depending on the friendship level that you have, you can trade and get a discount there. You can do a gym battle and share damage, and you can be best friends and get a whole lot of perks. But increasing your friendship level depends on the gifts that you get from spinning Pokestops. So now they've added a new item, so when you go to Pokestops and you spin to get items, you'll be getting another item called a gift. Now you can't open the gift yourself, you have to send it to your friend. When you send it to your friend, typically inside this new gift item will be a couple items and a postcard and a boost to your friendship level. So the gifts can contain rare items like eggs and a few different Pokemon forms like Alolan or the 7-kilometer egg that contains that Pokemon form from the Kanto region. So the other thing that they introduced was trading. So for trading, you both have to be level 10. You have to be within 100 meters from the person you're trading with. Trades cost 100 Stardust, but you can't trade legendary or shiny Pokemon. You will receive bonus candy for trading. This is relative to the distance between where the Pokemon were caught. Presumably, you'll receive more candy the further the distance. But for special trading, you have to be best friends with the person you're trading with. Special trading allows you to trade Pokemon that are not in either of your Pokedexes, as well as legendary and shiny Pokemon. But you have to have greater best friendships. And special trading costs 40,000 Stardust and is limited to once per day. We're not sure if you'll get a discount for a special trade, but you might. So that's what we know for now for the Pokemon Go trading and friends update. Like it or hate it, let us know in social media or on our Discord server. Next up, apparently Google Assistant no longer needs every hey and okay in order to start a conversation. So Google has recently announced that you don't have to call out Google Assistant by name every time, along with Hey Google or OK Google. Apparently, there is a feature in the home speaker, if you enable it in your preferences, and you don't have to use a phrase for follow-ups, even if you have multiple requests. So now you can just simply ask if it'll be sunny tomorrow, and you can both remind yourself to go to the beach and put sunscreen on your shopping list, all without having to start off with the boring robotic phrase of Hey Google or OK Google. So, Assistant will be active for no more than 8 seconds if it doesn't hear speech, and it'll stay active as long as it believes that you're talking, and it'll keep the LEDs lit on your home speaker as long as it's listening for your voice. So, with that being said, it's trying to make it feel a little bit less robotic and more conversational in a human-type manner. Kind of interesting, working on all of this AI voice technology. Kind of interesting. If you have had a chance to test it out, let us know your thoughts. Like it or hate it, let us know via social media or via our Discord server. Next up, PUBG is coming out with the Event Pass. As of right now, it's either on the brink of coming out or it has come out already. So, PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds decided to come out with an event pass, and the reason why is because they have a map that's coming up that's going to be going live, and they wanted to tease that by having a event pass. According to their dev post, we wanted to create a whole new gameplay and reward experience. Ultimately, we decided to go with a new system, the Event Pass. It'll be made available on June 22nd, the same day Sandhook hits live servers. Now, the Event Pass is designed to reflect the opinions of players who wanted a trackable, progression-related system, and at the same time allows you to unlock new content in PUBG in a way that is different from the crate and key system. Now, even though they haven't posted any pricing details yet, speculations for this 4-week event pass have many guessing it'll probably be around $10, which ironically puts it right in line with the pricing for a Fortnite battle pass, which lasts 3 months. So I've been doing some polling, and people on Twitter aren't too interested about the whole thing. Now they have to pay for progression. Hey, remember when PUBG was trying to sue Epic Games because they thought Fortnite copied their experience? Well, apparently, with Fortnite and the Battle Passes, they figured out something. Wow, so if we're gonna do this, it's gonna work out great, and we have more money in our pocket, and this is for a certain time period, and they can earn all of this extra stuff that they wouldn't be able to get normally just playing the game. But it's all cosmetic looks and all cosmetic stuff, and it'll go away after a while, and I think in some ways PUBG's a little bit mad because of Fortnite's overnight success. So they're trying to recoup some of the costs and some of the ideas, and the latest way to try and get back at Fortnite is to duplicate Fortnite. Well, Fortnite has something working, so why not? I mean, you know, we decided to steal this from them, and now we're going to steal that from them because it's working for them and it's not working for us, and we need to do something. Otherwise, if we don't innovate, well, we're kind of going to fade away and Fortnite is going to take over, and we don't want that to happen. So if you're a Fortnite player, well, you're going to stay a Fortnite player because you're not playing PUBG anymore. But if you're playing PUBG and you're probably sitting there complaining, saying, why do you guys have to go copy Epic Games? Well, it's either innovate or die. So I guess we're going to see how this works, good, bad, or otherwise. Don't pay money if you already enjoyed a game. You already paid, ironically, $30 for the game just to play it at start. They actually discounted it on Steam to $20 because of this whole event system coming out. But good, bad, or otherwise, what do you guys think about the PUBG event pass? It's only 4 weeks, it'll probably cost $10, but it's now a trackable, progression-related system, and at the same time allows you to unlock new content in PUBG in a way that is different from loot boxes. Okay, this is for any of you who've listened to Angry Joe. That guy is hilarious. Anyways, let me know via social media or on our Discord server. Next up, we only have a couple articles left, is the Amazon Fire TV Cube. So apparently CNET got a hold of the Amazon Fire TV Cube, and they said the good of the Amazon Fire TV Cube is it lets you control power, input switching, and volume on your TV, soundbar, or AV receiver hands-free from across the room using only voice commands. You can also use your voice to change channels on a cable box, and the microphones are superb at recognizing voice commands from afar over the Blair speakers, and device control setup is as simple as possible. The bad thing is if you want to use a source device beyond Fire TV, like your cable DVR, game console, smart TV, Roku, or Apple TV, you'll have to keep its remote on hand. The included Fire TV remote can't control other devices and even lacks volume and mute keys, and many apps don't support voice yet. But the bottom line is that the Amazon Fire TV Cube's well-designed voice controls make it a superb alternative to a standard universal remote, especially for simpler systems, and especially if you would want to go for the futuristic, hey Alexa, turn on my TV, hey Alexa, turn on CBS News, hey Alexa, open Netflix and play Stranger Things. So that's all stuff you can do now with the Amazon Fire TV Cube, but obviously they don't have cross-platform integration. Not all of the devices that you probably have yet have voice, but some do, but not to the extent that you'd want them to. You'd either have to press a button on your remote and talk into the remote. But the cool thing with the Amazon Fire TV Cube, you can be anywhere in the room, you can yell at the TV and a TV will turn on, or you can yell at the TV and TV will turn off. So kind of cool there. CNET gave it a overall score of 8 out of 10. So definitely priced right within the sweet spot of $120. It's a cube that controls your TV and all your internet connected devices, but not all of them as of yet. So what are your thoughts on Amazon Fire TV Cube? You like it? Love it? Hate it? Let us know via social media or via our Discord server. Also, Microsoft, why do you gotta go and do this? Okay, so Microsoft backpedaled on their VR promise. Apparently this is getting a whole bunch of people mad. If you're still waiting patiently for the virtual reality features that Microsoft promised in 2016, I have some bad news for you. During E3, and in case you weren't listening, Microsoft's chief marketing officer for gaming announced that the company had no plans to fulfill that promise. We don't have any plans specific to Xbox consoles in virtual reality or mixed reality. Now, this goes against the promise that Microsoft made 2 years ago when Xbox chief Phil Spencer told The Verge that the Xbox One X, known then as Xbox Scorpio, would support the kind of high-end VR that you see happening in the PC space. Now, the release of the Xbox One X came and went without any news of VR integration. But in the interim, Microsoft did make strides toward VR and mixed reality tech for PC gaming with the release of the mixed reality headset for Windows 10. So, seems like PC is probably the best platform for more immersive VR and MR, but as it relates to Xbox, well, you guys can forget about it. So, apparently the consoles aren't up to par on VR as they would like to be. I assume down the road that's going to change depending on how people respond to everything, but PC has the power where it's at, where it can power the VR capabilities and do it easily and without any difficulties or lag or glitches. The clarity's there, the quality's there, so it's probably just going to stick on PC for a while until it's able to make the move safely to console-based system. So I know you're excited about wanting to have VR. Apparently smartphones can handle it, but your console, like your Xbox, can't. But that's bound and determined to change. You'll just have to stay tuned and ride it out. Who knows? One day you'll be playing with your Xbox One on virtual reality, and you'll pick it up and accidentally throw it realistically across the room and out the window. And then, surprise, surprise, the Xbox is lost forever. Thank goodness. You know, I'm only a PlayStation player. I'm just kidding. Now I got all the people on Xbox all hating. I'm sorry, I don't like the controller. The controller kind of sucks. The simplest controller that I've ever seen design-wise is the PlayStation controller, and I've always liked it from a very young age, and it's always worked out very well for the buttons that I needed to do when I needed to do it. I'm sorry I didn't learn on Xbox. I probably would have been biased that way, but I'm biased towards PlayStation, I guess. To be fair, I'm a PC gamer at heart first, so don't be too harsh on me, guys. Let me know if you like this VR talk. Want to continue the conversation? Let me know via social media at Tech News Gadget on Twitter, YouTube, not MySpace, because what's that? Facebook and Discord. So, final news of the day. Did you know that your favorite PC games might be watching you play, just like mobile games always have? So, here's the thing, game studios are using analytics software to monitor in-game activity and determine if ads are effective. Now, some gamers have been creeped out by that and expressed their concerns, which is prompting some publishers to stand down. Now, the software in question is Red Shell, that's currently embedded in over 50 games, including The Elder Scrolls Online and Civilization VI. Now, the idea is that tracking in-game activity can make for more effective advertising, but a growing backlash is prompting publishers to drop the software. So, according to Kotaku, Red Shell's website and their software is meant to help game companies measure the effectiveness of their marketing campaigns by tying information from marketing games to in-game play. Basically, it's installed alongside games and tracks information about your devices, like your operating system, browser version number, IP address, in order to ascertain how effective advertisements for that particular game are. Now, the company swears up and down that it doesn't collect personal information. Probably to a degree, it doesn't. Now, this doesn't sound different from the kind of tracking that happens every time you use the web, and this kind of tracking has been standard in mobile gaming for a long time. But understanding the backlash, it's because it's yet another place where we're being watched, and it's taking up some system resources from performance-obsessed gamers. Now, it'll be interesting to see how long the backlash lasts. In the short term, The Elder Scrolls Online is dropping Red Shell in a future update, as are a few other games. As all things tend to go, though, I bet software like this will be coming standard in the next couple of years. So, you kind of creeped out by people watching you play games? They're not going for any privacy barrier-breaking information. They just want to know basic information. They're not stealing your social security number. They're not taking your bank account number. They're not asking for your real name. Matter of fact, you could probably stay on your alias gamertag. They'd probably be fine with that. But, you know, in an age where privacy is all the rage and Apple seems to be taking a very good stand in that regard, Facebook seems to be on the complete opposite end of the spectrum and now backpedaling and having problems with the current debate raging on in the Senate and Facebook privacy violations adrift all over the place. It'll be interesting to see how this plays out. I know that privacy is certainly an important thing to be taken care of seriously, but outside of that, you know, I don't actually mind. You know, I understand if I'm paying, if I'm signing up for something for free, well, they're probably going to be selling some part of my information at some, in some way, shape, or form to someone, and it's not going to be identifiable back to me. It's just, we need to make sure we keep up on the trends of privacy, the importance of strong passwords, the importance of computer programs and other programs coming into the space being properly protected and guarded against hackers. That's always an imminent threat. That's always going on. So if you can keep that important data safe and protected, we'll be okay and it'll work out just fine. So those were the articles for this week. If there's anything I missed, hey, be sure to let me know via social media. I'm on Twitter at TechNewsGadget. Otherwise, you can hop on over to thelatestintechnews.com to listen to any episodes you may have missed. Check on any of the show notes for any of the episodes to find out more information, start a conversation. We also have a Discord server going on. We love to talk about technology, whatever that may be. Tech news related, gadget related, gaming related. Currently, there's an argument going on right now between Fortnite and PUBG players. I don't know how it's going to work out, but it sounds like it's going to be interesting for a while. So, thanks for tuning in this week, guys. Hope you have a great weekend and a great next week. As always, here's to the best in technology. Keep being awesome. I'll see you on the flip side.